Good morning. Today is Tuesday, June 26th. This June thing being over is just it's just a little bothersome for me. Joining us this morning is Merritt Perry, still interim, right?
Still interim city manager.
All right. Do you have desires or not?
My desire has been to stay in my current position. I suppose I could throw my name in the hat through the application.
Have they started?
We are taking to the council at a study session next Monday or this coming Monday. Our plan for advertising, the job description, and kind of the plan for all of that.
So really the preliminaries.
Yeah, kind of. Here's how we're going to advertise, and here's a duration, and here's just kind of the final brochure of what we're going to put out there.
Looking for typos.
Looking for typos, giving the council any opportunity to make it more attractive. It's hard to attract a qualified city manager candidate when, you know, it's a high demand position and you look from Humboldt County to the Bay Area and they can make double. So it's really kind of a unique person that you can get up here. Somebody who wants to live here and not be going for the biggest salary job and moving around trying to increase their retirement. Somebody who really wants to be here.
Yeah, before we get down too far in that rail, we'll get into our why do we say that for this morning. Where did it go? There it is right there. Acrobat. Where did the word acrobat come from? Any idea?
No.
Okay.
Maybe Persian descent? I
don't know. It's a Greek word, okay. Which literally means one who goes about on the tips of his toes and fingers. This is an accurate enough description of acrobatic dancers, but not, obviously, of all acrobats. Okay. So, see, you learned something today. How's that for exciting?
That's great. I'm glad I came in already.
Yeah. Okay. The profile of individuals that you're looking for, or that you sense that people are looking for with department heads, it's probably pretty routine to say local or not local because of that lure you just alluding to, Merritt. Yeah, I mean, if somebody's chasing the dollar, we're going to be a lily pad in the frog pond.
Right.
2-3 years, boom, and you're gone. And I know that's kind of the profile for a lot of smaller communities. But you look around here, and we, the last, what, 2 decades? Haven't been experiencing that. Is that what Fortuna's looking for? Do you sense, or what the city council is giving lip service to, that they want somebody who's going to either be of the area so they're not tempted to go, or somebody who comes here and goes, you know, why do I want to commute an hour and a half each way?
Yeah. You know, I think what the city wants is somebody who's invested in the community, who wants to be here and, you know, kind of roll up their sleeves and do a good job. I mean, city government's boring except when somebody's getting fired or, you know, some big amount of money gets dropped on you. So, you mean, day to day, you're just trying to put forward new policies. We had a meeting last week and it was like purchasing policies and a few other things. And I read the agenda at the Chamber of Commerce meeting. I'm like, you know, if anybody's into city policy, you know, this is a meeting for you. But it's generally pretty boring stuff until you screw something up or do something wrong. You know,
making sausage.
When somebody's got a pothole, that's a big deal. You know, when the medians aren't mowed and green and it's event season, that's a big deal. You know,
but most of those are manageable. Those aren't structural.
That's right.
So
structural, there's structural problems, and budget's another fun one.
I would suspect, as you've gone through now as either department head or as a manager through a budget process, do you have to be a geek on numbers to make it happen for you, or are there staff members who are and the position is more of a oversight overview?
You know, I think a city the size of Fortuna, and even a lot of the cities in the size of Humboldt County, there's not a lot of mystery to putting together the budget. You do the same thing every year, and, you know, your streets crew use about the same. You have a certain amount for paving projects that you put in the capital improvement plan. And generally, departments, you know, can meet the budget they had last year with some slight increases, and you scrutinize what's different from last year when you're looking at that budget. Each department, okay, here's your budget. Here's what it is last year, here's what you're proposing, what's different. So you can kind of focus on what those changes are and scrutinize those changes. So that makes it a smaller job. The big wild card that the city has that's hard to control, you know, revenue goes up steadily. at a modest percent, you know, 1-2% every year. You kind of see sales tax go up and property taxes go up a little bit. But the big wild card for the city and many cities right now in the state is a PERS unfunded liability. So
that's really almost an untamed monster, isn't it?
It's I think it's the biggest problem facing most municipalities and deciding how you deal with that. Right now, the city, we pay towards the retirement fund about $440,000 a year. PERS didn't make the anticipated amount that they expected in the past. And so they said, okay, you have all these retirees, the costs are going to be, you know, more than we expected. So each city, they gave a kind of a program of here's what your unfunded liability payment is. And for the city of Fortuna, right now we're paying about $440,000, and by 2021, it's expected to go up to about $900,000+. So that's almost double, you know, it's a little over doubling. And with the city with a general fund budget of a little over $4 million, that's a big hit because that money, we're, you know, cities are service organizations to provide services. And you know, what the city needs to do is spend that money to keep those departments going, keep the parks crews mowing lawns, keep the streets crews keeping things paved, and keep the water crews. So it's well, a
cops
big,
on the street and streets cops, that exist.
Yeah, cops on the street, definitely. So yeah. it's that's a big challenge, and that's one we're taking on right now, and we're going to come up with some options for the council real soon.
Well, in 2021 probably isn't a plateau either.
It starts to peak there, and their projection is that it comes down unless they don't make their anticipated rate of return on their investments.
That's probably the most difficult thing for a lot of us to understand is the stock market's going stupid crazy.
Right.
But how long it takes to go through the system, and then some of the things that PERS chooses not to invest in that are successful. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Merritt Perry from the city of Fortuna. Merritt, with department heads, the same standard, is that what you sense is looked for in the hiring process?
I think
vested in the area, passionate, wanting to make a difference, you know, all those.
Absolutely. And then trying to find somebody with that experience, you know, at the salary that you can get in Humboldt County. I think that's a challenge. And I think we've done a really good job of bringing motivated people in. We just hired a new parks director who had kind of been in the community for a while. He was a parks and rec director for Blue Lake. He'd worked at Arcata Parks and Rec, so he had a pretty good amount of experience.
Knew where Fortuna was.
Lives in Fortuna.
Oh, well, hey.
That's always a plus. But to be able to bring somebody in who's passionate and really kind of a hard charger for a position like that. And you'd think, well, it's parks, right? People go there and kids play there. But you have recreational programs and a lot of parents bringing their kids in for summer fun. You have the Rodeo Association that's going on its 97th year with a lot of expectations of having that facility nice and ready and in step for that.
There are standards to be met, yeah.
It's a high profile position and a lot of expectations from the community, and so it's no small feat. And we get different user groups that want to come in and say race motorcycles or bring monster trucks, and trying to evaluate how can we bring these groups in and still meet our insurance requirements. And people get upset, you know, whether you do something or you don't. And so every decision, you know, has its consequences. So getting people who care and are really kind of motivated to make the parks, you know, or whatever department the best they can be is it's important. It's hard to find good people, and I feel like we've done a great job with that.
Yeah, in the outside world, a lot of us are hearing comments daily about unmotivated, happy to find a warm body, You know, unfortunately, it shows up in some of the settings. Yeah, and the warm is kind of optional, it seems, for some. Is government having the same challenges when you've got a position open, pick a department? Do you get a lot of applicants? Do you got a lot of qualified applicants? Do you have a pool that you have to winnow down? Or are you tickled pink that somebody's cousin's kid coming through town decided to apply for that job and you might have somebody to fill it?
It's an interesting question. For the entry-level positions, we tend to see a lot of people. But for some of the more professional positions, we advertise for an assistant city engineer. We had our last guy leave and went to another position. We had, you know, less than a handful of candidates. And, you know, we're fortunate that we found, a highly qualified person who could come in and do that. But I think we were lucky. And
they have a name, right?
They have a name. He hasn't started yet, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But mid-level and the upper echelons, it's kind of tough sledding.
Yes. And you see fewer people. And I think one of...
Always been the case that way?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would think because the pool would probably be a little smaller.
Yeah. Yeah, you see fewer people. And, you know, I think we were lucky to hire our finance director. Aaron Felmley came to us from the city of Eureka. He was more of a, mid-level or more starting his career there, but he had a lot of experience, and for him to come in and advance his career by being a finance director instead of just a finance employee, I don't know what his classification was, definitely has the chops, has a great head for it, but to bring somebody
really excited when he came out.
Yeah,
to
get somebody that knows the budget process and can go through something in a methodical way. I mean, I think for a long time, smaller cities are seen as a stepping stone to something bigger. So I think that's what we want to try to avoid, of getting people who are just going to come in and try to get a few years of experience and then leave. No doubt we'll have employees who come in and do that. But I think, you know, ideally for the council, they're not making big decisions on department heads all the time. They're getting people who want to be there for the long haul.
How involved is the council in the hiring process? Is that more affirmation, or do they get involved in the search also?
They have to approve department heads. They're not involved at all in the search. They're except for the city manager and the city attorney, who's a contract city attorney. So that's the responsibility of the city manager to hire department heads and other employees.
So when a new manager comes in,
yeah,
obviously it's a new game in town.
Yeah.
Trepidation?
I think it depends. The council, it's a long process of, you know, advertising, vetting employees. I think last time the mayor and one of the council members even went down and interviewed council members at the previous city that, like Regan Candelario came from, or a couple city managers ago.
Yeah,
I guess so.
You went down. Apparently, they got lost going to Arcata, huh?
Yeah, and yeah. I think they had a real focus for Mr. Candelario of economic development, reaching out to community. He did a great job for that. And, I think that economic development's always going to be a priority for the city and somebody who's going to be involved with the public. And I think the other thing that they'll be looking for this time is somebody who can kind of do some of the more boring administrative work, maybe a little more efficiently.
So more manager. Type stuff.
Yeah, somebody with some management experience would be nice. But again, you know, when you're looking at a pool of city managers, that, you know, there's not enough current city managers in the state probably to fill that position. Then you're going to get somebody who wants to be up and coming, maybe from a department head level, or, you know, maybe a smaller city even that wants to come to a bigger city for the opportunity.
Yeah, I know you have peers in your normal job.
Yeah.
What do they think of California?
Peers meaning city managers or others?
Take your pick. Either current or before, or from other states. Do they look at California as a place that they want to go to, or a place they want to stay from?
And most of the people I know and my peers that I talk to, they especially Humboldt County, they live here and love it, and they want to be here. So I don't talk to too many people who want to leave. You hear the occasional tax person who said, I want to move to Oregon where I don't have to pay as much taxes, but.
Yeah. Okay. It's 8:30.
What could we we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Merritt Perry, Interim City Manager for Fortuna. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redec, American Ag Credit, and Lolita Cheese Company. Merritt, as you're contemplating throwing your hat in the ring on this thing, and it won't even go which way the hat's even flowing right now, what are some of the surprises so far? I mean, you've only been in the chair for a couple months, but have you found some things that kind of go, oh, now I get it? Have you had those moments?
You know, I think looking at the big budget process, you know, and having things kind of alluded to, like the PERS unfunded mandate, but not putting hard numbers behind them and what they mean for a budget, to me, that's been probably the biggest change that I'm responsible for, because I like to see numbers. I like to know exactly how that's going to translate into a budget and how we make a decision, rather than knowing we've got this big scary monster out there. I want to know it's, you know, $200,000 and I need to figure out where it's coming from. That uncertainty and unknowing, and just knowing there's this big thing out there, actually seeing the numbers, coming up with a plan, that's probably the most interesting and different thing for my position. And then the other part, which is you know, as a city manager, you really make a lot of decisions when it comes down to human resources and disciplinary issues and, you know, things like that. And that takes a lot of time. And I think that goes across any type of private or public company. It's, you're making hard decisions that affect people's lives and trying to figure out, you know, what's in the best interest of the city. Is the city better off, you know, doing, you know, A or B? And it's a lot of just judgment calls that ultimately you have to make, and you're the one responsible for those decisions. And so it's toeing the line and figuring out which direction. And
what
so that's
sense, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of the biggest change, I think, between a department head and this being a city manager or head administrator.
You mentioned $200,000, and I would suppose that the temptation is to think sales tax and bed tax. That's what we need more blank to get there. Is it necessarily that simple? Because I would think if it was that simple, we would be back in the car dealership battles where Fortuna would be trying to lure somebody from another community, you get expansion, let's get a car, another car, or two or three car dealers, and only car dealers because it's the number one sales tax generating entity that cities have got typically. Do like Santa Rosa with Auto Row. I mean, to do something really big like that, change the character of the community?
Mm-hmm.
Or can you get there with little nibbles here and nibble there?
You know, I guess, you know, economic development, it's something that I haven't focused on. And, you know, there's not a lot of money that a city has for economic development. But I think making an environment where you can make the process easy for somebody to come in and get through a building permit process or a conditional use permit process, making sure that, you know, one thing that City of Fortuna is really fortunate for is we have property available to be able to build things. There's a lot of home building going on right now. So there's people that live in Fortuna that want to locate their business there. And so I think that kind of organic growth, creating an attractive environment where people want to live and work, you know, somebody doesn't want to live in Fortuna then drive to Eureka or Arcata to do a job. And so we're seeing people who live in Fortuna wanting to base their businesses there. And I think that's probably our best bet, is to continue to maintain an attractive community for people to work and live. And the other thing that I think the council is really focused on is how can we keep our fees low enough so people don't feel like it's overly burdensome or expensive to be able to do business in the city. And I think that's something that the council's shown over and over again that they care a lot about. And so I think that's a big deal to keeping people in Fortuna as well.
That doesn't mean you're going to ignore the solar panel edict.
No, the city has some real potentials, and yeah. Some of the things that they're looking at right now, and one thing that I think we could do a better job of, is we have this mill district property, the former
the PL site,
Pacific Lumber Mill, yeah. which is owned by Town of Scotia, and it's
know what I was writing? I was talking to a couple of the employees here.
Yeah,
they didn't know about Pacific Lumber Company.
Wow,
what? It's like, oh boy, talk about a gut check.
Yeah.
Yeah, it hasn't been that long ago. It was just a wink and a blink.
Right.
Well, it was long enough ago that,
yeah. Pretty hot and heavy in the 90s. But we have this, you know, we really haven't done a great job developing our planning documents or a specific plan or working with that property owner to really kind of identify what, you know, the plan would be, how the circulation would be, how the road network would tie in. We've done a little bit of work, but
clarify things.
If we could get that to a point where somebody could walk in and look at one or all of the parcels and say, look, here's what I would need to do. Calculate how much is it going to cost me to invest and build my building and business there, and what improvements will I have to do? Then they know what that cost is, and they can determine whether or not it makes sense for their business to locate there. So I think getting ahead and doing a little more planning work there is something that we need to prioritize, because we have, you know, central property of the city that needs to be used.
Pretty much make it as simple as possible for somebody to say yes.
Yeah. And then the other thing the council's looking at is right now we have the Riverwalk area, which is essentially along Riverwalk Drive and Alomar Way, west of the freeway, between the freeway and the Eel River. And the city wants to look at revising our zoning to see if we can allow more retail. Right now, a lot of it's freeway commercial, and there is retail allowed there, but making some changes to allow more retail work. You know, in the area where the new Tractor Supply is, there's a number of vacant commercial lots there.
What is freeway commercial? I've never heard that one before. It sounds intriguing.
There's a definition, and you can look in our general plan. But essentially, businesses that take traffic on and off the freeway for people coming through to, you know, commercial things, like whether it's an auto dealership or a tractor dealership, big things that'll...
Exposure from the freeway.
Freeway. That's it.
Yeah. Okay. Now it clicks. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new non-stop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Merritt Perry. Merritt, as you consider what summertime means, some of these project areas that you were alluding to, how long did it take you to get used to the speed of government or process rather than the private sector? And I know there's a lot of quick decisions being made out there, but when it comes to actually getting to the spot of breaking dirt,
mm-hmm.
it's a whole lot different process. Do you get frustrated with that? I mean, either as public works or as the city manager, that it just takes a certain amount of time and there's not a heck of a lot you can do about it?
You know, I worked on a lot of public projects when I was in the private sector. So when you're looking at different funding sources and the environmental permitting process, you know, and CEQA process in California, things take a long time. So there wasn't a really big change. You know, we're looking at, you know, say a road paving project, you have to, you know, submit to Caltrans, and usually you program those type of projects over multiple years where one year you do the environmental and permitting, and then you start the right of way and design, and then you do, you know, so those are always multi-year projects, the larger projects, but the smaller ones that you get as a city are actually more fast paced, you know, like the annual striping or annual concrete contract. So some of them are a lot quicker.
Here's your paint, boys, go get it.
Let's bid this out and let's stripe these roads. Or, you know, one thing we've been doing a lot of is doing some micro slurry. So really trying to extend the life of some of their other pavement. And we do an annual contract. This is a good example of government efficiency, which is, you have all the cities pulling together to share the administrative burden to get a contractor in here to do micro slurry, which is putting an asphalt emulsion with aggregate and sand on top of the road to prolong the life. We've been rotating that between the city of Eureka, city of Arcata, the county, other cities, so we can get one big project, get the economy of scale by having a large quantity, and then put, you know, having that reduced administrative burden. So getting those projects in they go pretty quick. You know,
How's the interchange coming out?
So
you plugging along on time on that?
I think we're anticipated to start in 1920. We have the money for preliminary allocation.
Not 1920. You're gonna have to watch yourself.
2019, 2020 fiscal
next year.
I'm a little concerned with the. I heard yesterday that there's potential repeal of the gas tax SB1, so the state funding for projects like that could be in jeopardy. It's hard to say what money will be available if that goes away. It's really it's actually not even enough for what the city needs to do. Right now we have every year, you know, about a million bucks of maintenance that we need to do. And we're doing a little over, $300,000. You know, we get about $300,000 in gas tax to keep our pothole crews and our streets guys going, and then projects a couple hundred thousand. So we're not well funded for that, but
not for the extraordinary.
So I want to start and see if we can accelerate that. So if we get to 2019-20, get that money, we'll start the preliminary design.
Cool. And we'll know it's done when there's new rhododendrons out there, right?
And then we'll have new businesses that won't be bottlenecked by our interchange.
There you go.
So all that's good another stuff. Part of it.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.